Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Galatians. Now to Pastor Chris.
We begin Galatians today on Through the Word. Galatians is a passionate defense of true Christianity, a fight to defend our freedom in Christ, and above all, a beautiful letter about God's grace. Scholars say it may have been the first written of all the epistles. Paul the Apostle is writing a personal letter to the Christians in Galatia, Christians who were, according to verse 6, deserting God. Paul says they were deserting the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. That's a striking statement. These were faith-filled Christians, but they were leaving Jesus for a fake and trading in the true gospel for a lie. How does that happen? How does a vibrant church fall into dead religiosity? How does sweet freedom in Christ fall into joyless, judgmental rules and rituals? It still happens today, in church and in me and you. In Galatians, Paul delivers the antidote for dead religion, and the antidote is grace. Grace is amazing. It's so good I made it my daughter's middle name. Grace basically means gift. As in, don't pay for it, don't deserve it, just a gift because someone loves you. Grace is God's love without earning it. Grace is God's peace without deserving it. Grace is God's forgiveness without groveling for it. In God's grace is the truest of all freedom, and Galatians is a manifesto of grace. Paul opens the letter with a simple and sincere greeting from Paul the Apostle to the churches of Galatia. You may recall that Galatia was the region where Paul preached the gospel in Acts 14. The people hailed him as a god in the morning, then tried to stone him to death that same evening. The Galatians had a reputation for being fickle, always chasing the latest thing and often changing their minds. Paul did reach many with the gospel, but now they are switching again, following a new and different gospel, with one thing missing. What was missing? Notice in verse 3 that the very first word after the two from is grace. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in verse 6, Paul gets right to the point. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. So Paul starts in on his letter with the subtlety of a charging rhinoceros. You are deserting God. He called you in the grace of Christ, and you are ditching grace for a different gospel, which is not a gospel. It's not good news. Paul's not messing around, because there were some false teachers inside the Christian church who were distorting the gospel, and they have been around ever since. So for you and I, how do we tell the real from the fake? When it comes to faith in Jesus and the gospel, how do we distinguish between the counterfeit and the genuine article? We are a generation thoroughly fixed on the high ideal of genuineness. Of all the traits of personality and character, we have come to admire most someone who is real. And in turn, hypocrisy is seen as the worst of all flaws. We don't like fakes. And I agree. I want real fruit juice, not fruit drink. I want real vegetables, not chemicals. And I want real people with real faith in the real Jesus. Galatians is about genuine Christianity, and it starts in verse 6 with the grace of Christ. So what were the Galatians getting as they traded in grace? Well, we call it legalism. It's basically a rules-based Christianity. They took faith, hope, and love and replaced it with religion, rituals, and rules. We'll get to that in chapter 2. First, Paul has to establish two essentials about the gospel itself. That is, there is only one gospel, and it is not man-made. Verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Wow, them's fighting words, rabbit. Seriously, Paul says anyone who preaches a different gospel about Jesus can go to hell. Literally. In fact, he says it twice. Hey, Jesus was just as harsh. He called the self-righteous religious hypocrites children of hell. Now, some years later, a new batch of hypocrites is stepping in to try to twist Christianity with a self-righteous gospel. And Paul's angry. Self-righteousness is the wrong gospel. Look at verse 11. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. This bold statement is the driving point of the next chapter and a half. The gospel is not a man-made gospel. It is a God-made gospel, and there is only one true, that is. Now, in order to lay out some evidence for that claim, Paul shares his story, how he got this God-made gospel. After all, Paul's story is different. He was not one of the 12 disciples who followed Jesus before he died, and he did not learn the gospel from those disciples either. Paul was one of those self-righteous, children of hell Pharisees, until Jesus stopped him, that is. And in verse 12, Paul received the gospel directly by revelation from God. Then in verse 16, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Basically, Paul is saying that he did not check his gospel story with Peter and the boys to get their stories straight. He didn't even meet them at first. In verse 18, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, that's Peter, and remained with him 15 days. So Paul finally visited Peter, but only for a couple weeks. As you read Galatians 1, remember that Paul shares his story here for one purpose, to demonstrate thoroughly that the gospel of Jesus was given by God, not by man. Is that important to me and you? It's crucial. The source makes all the difference. If you find a stack of money, you want to know if it was printed by the Federal Reserve or Parker Brothers. If you get a love note, you want to know if it is a letter from your true love or just sappy words written by some guy at Hallmark. Unless, of course, your true love works at Hallmark, in which case you probably like sappy words. But the point is, the source matters. When it comes to the gospel, you have to decide what you believe. Who is the source? If the gospel is man-made, then all the promises of eternal life are just monopoly money, and you can put your Bible back in the game closet with the rest. If the gospel is man-made, then you are free to tweak it, change it up, alter the rules if you like, because it's made up. But if the gospel is from God, given by revelation from Jesus Christ, then every promise is true and every word is faithful. Then this love is true love. This freedom is true freedom. When Christianity becomes an institution of man and for man, of man's rules and man's power over his fellow man, it's not Christianity at all. And it will quickly deteriorate into joyless, loveless rules, rituals, and religion. But when Christianity is God's people, serving God and serving others in love, according to God's rule and God's gospel found in God's word, then it is the genuine article. And it is, by its very nature, overflowing with grace.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and teaching pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the Word.
Say that again. Welcome to Through the Word.
Welcome to Through the Word. You said that's your tone.